Henry Venn is little known to us nowadays, and his story is not dramatic, but in his time he was much used by Christ, and he has some very useful lessons for us here in 1997. Born in Surrey in 1724, all his male ancestors were ministers in the Church of England right back to the Reformation. His schooling, in those days, as you know, schools were set up by anybody who wanted to start one. They were privatised, deregulated and uninspected. And as a result, Venn was educated at home until he was 12. And then he went to some of these fee-paying schools, ending up at Cambridge University when he was 17. And here he won a scholarship which kept him in tuition until he was 25. Now, I didn't know cricket existed in the 1730s, but it is recorded in his life story that at the end of a cricket match, he threw his bat down and made it clear he would never play again. "Why?" said somebody, and he explained that he was going to be ordained on the next Lord's Day, and as a pastor there would be no time for such diversions. Now, from that you can see that he intended to take his Christianity very seriously. In fact, his religious zeal was astonishing. He had set times for his prayers and for meditation. He kept a spiritual diary about the state of his soul. He preached regularly. He fasted. He gave out religious tracts. He visited the poor and helped them. He held regular family prayers. And after 4 years in the ministry like that, he received a letter from the Countess of Huntingdon, who told him in no uncertain terms that he wasn't even a Christian. It was like a bolt from the blue. She told him he had zeal without knowledge, that he was teaching a false idea, namely that your own holiness and your own self-denial will save you by influencing God to accept you based on your own religion. And then the Countess told him that the gospel required him to regard his own holiness as filthy rags, and that only Christ could save him and give him real righteousness. He was 33 before he came into full gospel light. And immediately his preaching changed. He preached Christ alone. No longer would he tell people to be holy in order to be right with God. His son tells us that he also gave up Arminianism in favour of Calvinism. Now, as you know, Arminianism emphasises the ability of free will to choose Christ. Now, Venn read no books on the subject. He knew that his own heart was deceitful, and it was that which destroyed his confidence in free will to choose God. From that moment onwards, he elevated the grace of God and not the power of free will. When he was 35, he took a cut in his stipend, his salary, to go as C of E minister to Huddersfield. In 1759, Huddersfield was already a manufacturing town, and to Henry Venn belongs the distinction, as the Dictionary of the Christian Church puts it, to shake the whole town using the lever of the gospel. The only comparisons with him really are McShane in Dundee and possibly Baxter in Kidderminster. George Whitfield wrote a letter to the Countess of Huntingdon, and he said, "Your letter to him wasn't wasted." So note how important in God's providence a well-timed letter can be. Venn became part of that amazing evangelical awakening of the 1700s. It was almost as though he was like a magnet. He attracted hearers. Church seemed to be packed for every service. Whitfield preached his last sermon in England before taking ship to cross the Atlantic to America. People walked to Huddersfield from the surrounding villages, and many found they couldn't get into the church. One observer commented that as Venn warmed to his theme, it seemed as though he would fall out of his pulpit. Sometimes, apparently, he seemed to jump. It was evidently powerful and uncompromising preaching. And then, during an average week, he would preach 8 or 10 sermons in the surrounding villages. On one occasion, 2 educated men decided to go along and see what all the fuss was about. They came, and then they walked almost all the 15 miles back to Leeds in absolute silence, until one man leaned his back on a wall and he said, "I can't stand this any longer." And then he wept with conviction of sin and asked the Lord for salvation. And he had been experiencing the conviction of sin ever since he heard the gospel in that church in Huddersfield. And he was one of many thousands in that area who had the same experience of Christ. Sadly, after 12 years of enormous effort, Venn developed the symptoms of TB, coughing and blood. He was now 47. His wife had died when he was 44, and there were 5 children. What a choice. Should he work himself into the grave and leave his children as orphans, or not? Well, the decision was to leave Huddersfield, and it saved his life. Much to his own surprise, he recovered from TB while he continued as C of E minister at a village 12 miles from Cambridge. And he lived on for another 26 years. And it was in this time that most of his letters were written. By the way, if you want a spiritual tonic, read some or all of his letters in this banner book. One interesting thing about Henry Venn is revealed in the book by Charles Simeon. Venn made it a rule never to speak unkindly about any other Christian. He did do it once, and the very next day he prayed in public for the forgiveness of this awful sin. He died age 73 in 1797. From Henry Venn, you can see how easy it is to go to church, to go through all the motions of acting like a Christian without being converted. You can even be zealous. You can go in for fasting and self-denial and much more and still be far from Christ. It's possible. And at length, when he became a real Christian, he had the distinction of being used by Christ to influence a whole town in 12 years of non-stop ministry. As Whitfield wrote of him, he was a son of thunder.